Hello and welcome to our Bible class today. We're going to be studying about Jesus being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And of course, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 7 and other passages in the book of Hebrews. But I wanted to go back before we get to Hebrews 7 and talk about Melchizedek as we are introduced to him in the times of Abraham. Abraham was born after the flood of Noah. Matter of fact, the lives of Abraham and Noah overlapped so that Abraham could have actually known Noah. So when Abraham was born, God selected him to be the father of a nation. And of course, that nation was the Hebrew nation, the Israelites. And he lived during the patriarchal period. And during the patriarchal period, there was a high priest whose name was Melchizedek. And he preceded Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood of the Mosaical system. He preceded that, and he did that for a reason. We have an incident that's recorded in Genesis chapter 14, and it's there for a reason, because we're introduced to Melchizedek, who is a high priest, and he is also a king. Abram went out to meet in battle a king by the name of Chedorlaomer, and Abraham defeated him. Chedorlaomer had defeated Sodom and Gomorrah and had carried Lot away as a captive. And so Abraham mounts up 318 trained servants that was born in his house. And they went out and rescued Lot and his family and brought back all of the goods that had been taken from the city of Damascus. Now, on his way back, that's when he meets Melchizedek. This is significant. This is very significant. God planned this. I'd like to read from Genesis 14 and verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. Now, here's what we know about Melchizedek from the Old Testament. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And so he was king of Salem, but he was also a priest of God. And so preceding the Aaronic priesthood, there was another priesthood. And that's there for a reason. Now, what did Melchizedek do? Well, he brought forth bread and wine. Now, Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And Christ has introduced, and some believe this is significant, he has introduced the Lord's Supper, which is the bread and the fruit of the vine. But nonetheless, in verse 19 of Genesis 14, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich." And so Abraham rejected the king of Sodom's awards, but he accepted the blessing of Melchizedek. Now that is significant. Now I want to read another verse from the Old Testament. There we're introduced in a very simple section of scripture that Abraham defeats Chedorlaomer, And Melchizedek meets him with wine and with bread and blesses him. And Abram pays tithes to Melchizedek. Now, that's the introduction. It's very simple, straightforward. That's all we know. We do know there was a priesthood before the giving of the law of Moses, and God is very deliberate in letting us know that. Now, in Psalm chapter 110, this psalm speaks of Christ sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Christ is going to sit on the right hand of God. He's going to sit on the throne. That makes him a king. Christ is a king. But furthermore, Christ is a high priest, but not after the high priesthood of Aaron. No, look at Psalm 110 and verse 4. The Lord hath sworn, watch that, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, he won't take it back, that thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Christ is a king, and Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. But he's also a priest, but not after the priesthood of Aaron. He's after the priesthood of King Melchizedek. Now that's very significant because, let's go over to Hebrews 7 now. And this is what the writer of the book of Hebrews is wanting to get across. That we now have a new priesthood. The priesthood of Aaron is over. It's gone. And now we have a new priesthood, which shows that we have a new law. We have a new testament. Now I want to read with you Hebrews 7 and verse number 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. The change of the priesthood made it necessary to also have a change of the law. Now, the Jews of the first century, and that's who the book of Hebrews was written to, didn't want to give up the old law. They did not want to give up circumcision. They did not want to give up certain aspects of the law. And the writer, the thrust of the book of Hebrews is to tell the Hebrew Christians, give up the law of Moses and move on to the law of Christ. Because we have a better Savior, we have a better King, we have a better High Priest, we have better promises. Everything is better. The Old Testament couldn't make you perfect. The Old Testament couldn't save you. The offering of the animal sacrifices could not wash away sins. The priesthood of the law of Moses had to be replaced continually because they died and then somebody else would have to take their place. And on and on. And so that's why we needed a permanent high priest, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, in looking at Hebrews, I want to look at the last verse of chapter 6. Whether the forerunner is entered for us, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's not made a high priest after the order of Aaron. He's made a high priest after a different order, a superior order, and that is the order of a king and a priest. That's who Jesus is. And so now in Hebrews 7, we began to be introduced to Melchizedek and why Jesus is a priest after his order. Verse 1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him. Who blessed the father of the Israelite nation? A high priest of God. He blessed Abraham, not Aaron. Aaron did not bless Abraham. Melchizedek did. Verse number 2, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, being by interpretation king of righteousness. What does Melchizedek mean? It means King of Righteousness. Who is Jesus? Jesus is King of Righteousness. No fault, no sin could be found in Jesus Christ. He is perfect. He is the King of Righteousness. After that also, the King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Salem means peace. Now, if you know the spelling of Jerusalem, the latter word of Jerusalem is Salem. It is believed that Melchizedek was the king of the city called Jerusalem. It's called the Jeru part of it came when the Jebusites lived and reigned there in Jerusalem. But before that, Melchizedek reigned in Salem. It was called Salem then. And so he is without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And that's why Jesus is the high priest. He will be the high priest continually. And so he is a king. Aaron was never a king. That's why there's been a change of the covenants. This is about God changing the covenant. Why is Melchizedek, the record of him in Genesis 14, before the giving of the law at Mount Sinai? Because God had a plan that he was going to replace the law of Moses with a better covenant and a better high priest, a high priest that's a king, a high priest that will be a one forever and never have to be replaced. That was the fault of the Mosaic system. It had many faults. It could not make the comer perfect. It had shortcomings. And so Christ does not have a descent. He is not from the tribe of Levi, as Aaron was. All of the priests of the Old Testament under the Mosaical system had to have a lineage that goes back to Levi. They had to be a child of Levi. They had to be a child of Aaron to be the high priest. But Melchizedek didn't have a genealogy, and Christ doesn't have that genealogy. It's not about genealogy. We're doing away with the genealogy in the New Testament times. And so Christ is a priest forever, continually. He never stops. Verse 4 of Hebrews 7, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. That makes him great, because Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, he paid tithes to Melchizedek. That makes him great. Now, you and I need to take the Bible's word for it. We may not know that much about high priest and their prestige, but God's telling us about that now. Verse 5, and verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. And so it's a lesser priesthood. They're taking tithes of their brethren. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. But he whose descent is not counted, that's Melchizedek, from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Of course, God had promised Abraham that from him would be generated a great nation. They would be so countless, they would be as the sand of the sea. They would be so numerous, they would be like the stars in heaven. And so that was the promise that God had made to Abraham and Sarah, who didn't have a child until Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. And so God made a promise to them. And it was Abraham that paid tithes to Melchizedek. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed by the greater. Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek. That makes him greater. Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That makes him greater than Abraham. Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. Christ is greater than Abraham. And here, verse 8, men that die receive tithes. Men that die. Aaron died. His sons died. And all of those who came after him, they all died. Here, men that die receive tithes. But there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. It is witnessed that Christ did die, but he rose from the grave 3 days later. It is witnessed that he is alive. He liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Paid tithes, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And so even Levi, through the prospect of his descent from Abraham, also paid tithes to Melchizedek. What is that saying? That's saying Melchizedek is greater than Levi, greater than the priest that came from Levi. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? You know, why would we even change if things were okay under that first covenant and the priesthood was okay under it, but it wasn't okay. We couldn't be perfected under that. And so that's the question. Why did we need to change if that one was okay? The answer is that priesthood and that covenant was not okay. We needed a change. And so verse 12, I believe, is the key here. And we're coming to Hebrews 7 and verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Now this will be discussed more completely in chapters 8 and 9 and 10 of the book of Hebrews. We're going to go into that, Lord willing. And so the appearance of Melchizedek in the Old Testament was there for a reason. He was a king for a reason. He was a high priest for a reason. Abraham paid tithes to him for a reason. Melchizedek blessed Abraham for a reason. What? What's the reason? Because God was going to implement the law of Moses, but it was only temporary. And he was going to bring in a better high priest, Jesus Christ, and a better covenant later on. And that's why we have the incident with Melchizedek. Verse 13, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe. Christ didn't come from the tribe of Levi, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Christ came from a tribe no one served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Those men could not serve in the temple because the law of Moses said nothing about that. Now that speaks to the silence of the scriptures. If the scriptures do not prescribe something, then we cannot do it. We cannot play instruments of music because the New Testament has not prescribed such. Verse 15, and it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, that's the law of Moses, but after the power of an endless life. Christ is greater. The New Testament is greater. We have a greater high priest. We have greater circumstance. Our sins now can be forgiven, and we'll get to that in Hebrews chapter 10. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. That was the problem. Verse 17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He testified that in Psalm 110 in verse number 4. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. That's why we need a change of the priesthood, because that covenant of Moses couldn't accomplish salvation. It could not do that. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as, not without an oath, he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath. The Levitical priests were made without an oath. But this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear, this is Psalm 110, verse 4, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now the Leviticus priests were not made with such a oath, but Jesus was. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Don't go back to the Old Testament. It's not the better testament. This is the better testament. This is the better high priest. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Those priests under the Levitical priesthood had to die because it's appointed unto man once to die. They had to die and they had to be replaced. And that shows the weakness thereof. But this man, Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now, we've got the New Testament. It's not going to be changed. The priesthood is not going to be changed. The laws are not going to be changed. The Old Testament was, because God was working toward a fullness of time in which he would bring his Son into the world. He was not going to make the New Testament available to man until the Son came in and shed his blood for that New Testament. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and maketh intercession for them. What does a high priest do? He needs to be alive, and he needs to make intercession for people, and that's what Jesus does. That's what a high priest does. That's why we didn't even know we needed a high priest until God gave us one and explained it. You need a high priest. You didn't know that. God gave you something that you needed that you didn't even know that you needed. And God provided that for us. For verse 26 of Hebrews 7, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's who Jesus is. Oh, we've got a great high priest. We have a wonderful high priest, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Christ gave the superior sacrifice. It was a one-time sacrifice. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Now this is a lesson about Christ being a priest after the order of Melchizedek. I hope we've made some things clear. We've had to do it in sort of a hurry to get through it all. But God has changed the priesthood because God changed the law. The law of Moses has been changed. It has been disannulled, the Bible says. And the New Testament is now in force. We've got a better high priest in Jesus Christ. He is there to make intercession for us. We're thankful for his intercessions. We're thankful for his blood. We're thankful for his sacrifice. We're thankful for the promises that he has given to us. Thank you, dear friends, for tuning in today as we have studied from Hebrews 7, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. It is a priesthood that is forever, because it is a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek and not after the Levitical priesthood. Thank you for tuning in. This has been Richard Massey from the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. If you're ever in our area, come by and see us. We have a website, windmillcoc.org. Look us up, find our location and our times, and come and be with us. Until next time, may God continue to bless you.